Stephen Allen, Joan Solu. Hi, Joan. Nancy Dickinson, thank you for being here. Amish Patel, how are you? And Isaac, thanks for being here. I'd like to start this morning with a moment of silence. So please. Thank you. Can we all please rise? Face the flag and pledge of allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'd like to start this morning. Are there any board member announcements?
Ready? Friday is homecoming at the high school, so get your blue and white on. Go support your Pirates. Go Pirates. Have fun, Pirates. So that's my big announcement. They're playing Templeton. So it's the big 41 rivalry, right? Yeah. So.
Staff announcements.
Good morning. I have a few announcements to make. First of all, I want to let you know that the triathlon is getting ready to come up on November 3rd. Last year, they had a total of 500 participants. This year, they're already at 700. So attendance has grown significantly, which is really exciting. The Lady Washington is confirmed and will arrive November 22nd, and she will be here through the 26th of December, obviously weather permitting, when they come in and out, but that was a change originally. It was supposed to be the Hawaiian Chieftain, who's having some major engine issues. So Lady Washington's coming, which is great. And this is her, I think it's her 100th birthday, so we might do a special celebration of some sort around that. Council went ahead and approved the request for the $10,000 to be moved from the wine promotion into the two sections we talked about, the VJs and the grants, and we sent out emails to all of the previous grant recipients, or not recipients, but people that submitted grants, and we are going to go ahead and review those soon. One thing I wanted to mention from SoCal, they announced yesterday that the Spartan Race will be coming to our county. It'll be at out in Santa Margarita, which is pretty exciting. This is the longest Spartan Race. The one below this is the Monterey, which is a 10-mile race. This is a 13-mile race through the woods and obstacles. They expect 8,000 athletes, and just as a point of reminder, that destination does not have any hotels, and they do not allow camping. So even though it's fairly far away from us, we will see a little bit of impact, so I just want to make you aware of that. They are tentatively looking mid-March, but they have not officially announced the date, but I would look for that either on the second or the third weekend of March. Always rain or shine. They don't care. They're running through the mud. So, yeah, they don't care at all. And that's all my announcements.
Thank you. On to item A, consent agenda. I'd like everybody had a chance to look at the minutes from the September 19th meeting.
You have to do public comment.
And first, prior to that, I'd like to step back and offer the microphone to any public comment.
Hello, I'm Janice Peters from Morro Bay, here representing By the Sea Productions, our live theater company here in Morro Bay. We are doing a stage reading this weekend of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. It's directed by Rick Bruce, who's the magician from Cambria, if you know of him. He calls himself the Wizard of Cambria. So he's a big Orson Welles fan. So in addition to the play, which is like a one-act sort of a thing, he's also going to be giving us some information about Orson Welles, magic, how the whole radio production happened, the panic that it caused, people thinking we were being invaded by Martians and everything else. So it should be a really informative and exciting reading, a little bit more than our usual standing at a music stand sort of thing. He's got some special effects and magic in mind, too. So I recommend it for kids as well. I don't know about how young, if they would understand, but maybe like 10, 12 and up should be fine and a lot of fun. Tickets are only $10, and it plays this Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3 at St. Peter's by the Sea in their social hall, 545 Shasta Avenue. So we hope to see you all there. It should be a lot of fun. Have a nice meeting. Thank you.
Nancy Castle, Morro Bay, Living Treasure, 2016, but I'm still alive. I want to reassure everybody that Thanksgiving, the community, Morro Bay Community Thanksgiving Dinner, planning for that is underway. We have identified a source of turkeys, and so that's a wonderful thing. And the kitchen staff is gathering the supplies, and I'm still working on turkeys for display, and it should be a great party. Historically, we've served 600 people. Probably more meals than that have gone out of the hall. And certainly for those of you who are, for those constituents of yours, the motels, if you can spread the word, and if people are staying here and want to come to the community dinner, they're most welcome. We always accept donations, so that's a thing, but it's certainly not required because we do this as a labor of love and for Thanksgiving for living here in Morro Bay. So thank you.
Thank you. This is a great event, and I just want to say if anybody can contribute or donate, I'm for the third year. We're making yams, and I got to tell you, it's just warmed my heart. So thank you for that.
How many people usually attend that?
About 600 people.
Wow, that's great.
Any other public comment?
Nancy, I know you disappeared, but are you looking for volunteers besides donations? Yeah? How do they get a hold of the Lions? They get a hold of the Lions. Okay.
Yes, we're always looking for volunteers. The Senior Center serves as the conduit. People can call them. I don't have the number memorized at the moment. And then they'll keep a roster, and then I'll contact people. And my attitude is definitely anybody who is called to come out on Thanksgiving to serve will find a place for them to be, because that's part of the community event, to bring as many people as possible together.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, we're going to move on to agenda item A, consent agenda, and back again to the minutes. Anybody have any corrections, additions? Seeing none, I'm going to invite someone to make a motion.
So moved that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Business items. Presentation on the power being on or off.
Good morning, and I'm Steve Knuckles. I'm your fire chief. I've been your fire chief for 7 years. And this is a pretty hot topic in California. As you probably heard just 10 days ago, up in Northern California, Southern California, there was probably 2.5 million people affected by a power shutoff. And the whole reason is California, climate change is occurring very fast in California. Southern California weather is moving north. Town of Paradise did not supposed to have 70-mile-per-hour winds, Sundowner winds, or Santa Ana winds, or Foehn winds, but today they're having them. Not exactly today. Even today in Southern California, we had red flag alert that's probably going to pop up this afternoon. Southern California Edison is probably going to be doing a power shutoff in some locations in Los Angeles and San Bernardino County due to higher winds and low humidities. PG&E is calling the shutoff up in Northern California a success. because no fire started from their equipment up in Northern California, and they're comparing it to Southern California with the fire we just had last week down there and with the single fatality that occurred. So I don't think this is going to go away. I think this is going to be around until PG&E hardens their infrastructure to hold up to the sustainable winds that are occurring. This all started with the basically Public Utility Commission has basically told both PG&E, Southern California Edison, also San Diego Power, that no more fires are going to start from their equipment. So they've given the authority to a private industry to make a decision when to turn the power off. Again, this is not part of any type of emergency management decisions in the state of California, regionally, county, or even local. They don't confer with us one bit at all. They do have a set of standards that they use. And they're using the PUC ruling to make these decisions. So the PUC is requiring them and also giving them the authority to shut the power off when the utility feels their equipment can't hold up to the high winds. So some of the categories that they use is that anytime there's a red flag warning that's done by National Weather Service, and that's when humidity's dropped below 20%. Today, in eastern San Luis Obispo County, they're expecting humidity's drop between 15 and 18%. Forecast sustained winds about 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles an hour. That's going to occur between tonight and Sunday in our county. Just need to let you guys know. And also, any type of specific conditions, the local temperatures, or especially with the relative humidity, sometimes relative humidity will drop down to single digit. And what that means to firefighting is that that means the vegetation is more readily to ignite. And so any type of accident, any type of electrical issue can cause a fire, which has done for many years in California. But the most important thing is that they don't confer, again, with local emergency planners. They don't confer with local fire chiefs, local operational area, county EOCs. They don't confer with them at all. They make their decision and pass it along. So if you look at the California grid system, the map on the right, and you can probably see it on your handout a lot better, we are Zone 6. And that's important to know because you can go on to PG&E, click on their PSPS, Public Safety Power Shutoff website, and there's a weather connection to that. You connect to that, and it will look and it'll give you a graph of the different zones that PG&E owns. And we're in Zone 6. So you can take a look at it every day. I have it on my phone, so I look at it every day now, especially during fire season, and see if they're looking at our zone to cut the power off. Right now, they're not looking at our area. It may change over the weekend, but I don't really forecast that's going to occur. One additional thing, PUC has authorized them to cut power prior to a fire, but during a fire, that's when they have to work with emergency managers to make a decision where they're going to cut the power at. Because at times, we may want power on in certain areas and off in others. And I think that's very important. I wish it was also with the other way around, but at this time, we don't have that. So coming into Morro Bay, we have basically two connections. The blue line is a smaller line coming out of Paso Robles. And the red line, and put it in bold, that comes out of what we call the gateway out of Buttonwillow. We used to be connected to Diablo Canyon, which is the green line. But today, we're not connected to Diablo Canyon. When PG&E sold the power plant here in Morro Bay, they don't produce power now for PG&E, so that line was severed. So at this time, Diablo Canyon is only producing power for the Central Valley. None of Diablo Canyon's power is received in San Luis Obispo County. So any time that we have a possibility of a red flag alert, high wind, low humidity, in parts of our county, they're going to be shutting the power off. On the blue area, if we have a red flag alert all the way from the shooting range all the way to the backside of San Luis Obispo through the Lopez Canyon, Lopez Lake area, all the way down to Los Padres Forest to the Santa Barbara County line, there's a possibility our city will be 100% off during the whole because of our switchyard in our power plant, old power plant. If they cut the power north of us in the Adelaide area, in the backside of Cambria and Cayucas, there'll be a partial, and that'll be most customers north of Taco Bell on Main Street. It'll be off. The reason why I'm showing this is that as a city, we have an emergency plan. We have 10 different hazards that we try to prepare for. At any given moment, if we have a wind event or a tsunami or a flood or an earthquake, we will have portions of our town lose power. And PG&E works great with us in isolating different parts of the town by the folks in the field. They go out and they're pulling fuses up on the telephone poles or power poles. But during a power shutoff, it affects our whole town. It affects our wastewater treatment plant. It affects our emergency services. It affects City Hall. It affects our phone services in City Hall. It'll affect everyone in this community. Our grocery stores do not have backup power to run all their refrigeration. Our pharmacies will be closing. There's a lot of things that can occur to a town, especially when they completely shut the town off. And we have to prepare for, if they do shut us off, to be out of power for up to 7 days. The reason is a wind event can last 3 or 4 days. They need 2 or 3 days after that to inspect all the lines before they turn the power back on. The recent event up in Northern California, they were shut off for almost 5 days. Some parts of the Bay Area was shut off. So as a city, these are objectives that we have come up with as an executive team. It's being presented to the council on Tuesday. But these are some of the objectives that we're looking at that to help the city out. Well, we're going to try to provide for the safety for the public and also for the employees and volunteers in our city. We're also going to ensure that we have uninterrupted services from the fire department, police department, and harbor department. We're also going to keep the public informed as best as possible. We're going to keep the continuity of water and wastewater departments running. We're going to ensure that law enforcement maintains security within our community. We're going to assist the needs of the medically dependent citizens that we have. We're going to be using our CERT team, going to a list of individuals that we will obtain just prior to the power shutoff through the public health department. We will have a list of folks that are medically dependent on electricity in our community, and we're going to send our CERT team to each of those doors. I'm estimating about 250 to 300 residents in our community will be receiving knocks on their doors from our CERT team. We're going to ensure that we have a few distribution plan for all of our important, essential city vehicles and operations. And if it's a long time, we're also going to look at resource centers to provide places where folks can charge their medically dependent medical equipment, charge your electric scooters, charge your cell phones. We're going to share coordination with our regional partners, with the county OES and also our allied agencies, especially PG&E. We're going to ensure coordinations with the hospitals and ambulance transportation systems. Believe it or not, hospitals are not required to have backup power for their whole facility. They're only required to have backup power for certain portions of their building. And some hospitals may be closing after a few days with no power. Maintain close communication or coordination between all the affected public agencies in our county and within the city, and ensure the management objectives and efforts will be focused on serving, safeguarding, and protecting the citizens as best as possible in our community. So these are things that you can look up, I was just thinking about our hotel industry. What are they going to do when the power goes out? It's some difficult choices that have to be made on your businesses. When you got power, you're not going to be able to take care of their linens. You're not going to be able to do a lot of different services. Your elevators won't be working. That's the heavy questions that we have to ask ourselves, what we're going to be doing. But there's some handouts I handed to you. They're all also on our city website. These are a regional approach. The county chiefs is making sure that we have one message out there on how to prepare for yourself. I would hope to say that we would, as a local government, be able to help out our local businesses and citizens more, but there's only so much that we can do. You need to take care of yourselves during this moment. Your city of Morro Bay is going to do the best we can to make sure you stay communicated, that we are still going to provide emergency services and make sure we have water and wastewater operations working in our city with no power. You can follow us on Twitter. We're going to be sending all our information out. at City of Morro Bay. Also, PG&E is PG&E for me Twitter site. And then also the fire department, we're very fast and on our Twitters. But one thing you can do also, and we talked about it at one of the council meetings, that we have a new app that's in town that we can use. It's called Pulse Point. And that is primarily used for when we have a CPR in town at a public area, that if you're by that area, you'll get paged. So you get to help out with that CPR. But other functions too, which is really great, is that we have a notification process through Pulse Point that we can, it's another form to let the public keep informed. But also, you can see all the calls that we are running during that time also, if the internet is up and running. Another thing you can do that can be really helpful is sign up for reverse 911 through the SLO Sheriff's Office. They have a process with 16 different phone lines that are going out that we can give a message out, and we actually can do reverse 911. So if there is a power or outage or we're evacuating a portion of town, we actually can work through the sheriff's office. Geographically, they can put it in the computer, and then they can do 16 phone lines are going out with our message to the residents. You can also tie your cell phone to the reverse 911 and your home address and also your email. So if you happen to be at work, you can hear if your part of town is being evacuated or any special instructions. I'm open for any questions that you may have, and thanks for allowing me to come down here today and talk to you about this.
Thank you very much. This is a hot topic, and I've got to say that we've actually received, I've received a few emails from hoteliers wondering, asking me if I can estimate the date and time and duration of any of these outages, and I'm like, I'm not a sayer. I can't say that. So, but very, very good information and critical to keep going. I really want to stress that anyone with medical issues should really get prepared and communicate that their needs, you know, obviously. So thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Jennifer. Do you have public comment? Public comment on this issue? Very important topic. Seeing none. We're going to move on to the August TOT report.
Let me just add, we went through this up north, a couple hotels last week. We were without power for 2 days, and we had solar. We thought that was going to work during the day. It didn't. You know, I have solar at my house with a power wall. That didn't work. We had a backup generator. That got the computers on. The internet was down because it was so wide-ranging. They shut down Comcast in the area. So I would stress, you know, prepare for the worst with this stuff. People tend to panic. They filled up gas cans. There's no gas left at any of the local gas stations. You know, get water, get a generator if you don't have it. But I think until you go through it, you're never going to know what your property needs. So
be prepared. Thank you. Jennifer.
Okay, moving on. Thank you, Chief Knuckles. So we're going to talk about the TOT report for August 2019. Give us just 1 second to pull it up on the PowerPoint. Also, while they're doing that, you know, it's really good for you to have something outlined for your hotels in case you're not there when this happens to happen, that your manager or your MOD has some direction on what your request is, just in case you can't call or tell them do this or that. It'd be nice to have something written down so they know what to do. So, looking at the TOT, we changed this month's report a little bit. You'll notice that there's 4 bars in the graph because we wanted to talk about, obviously last year we had some different things happen with the Dream Drive coming through town as well as Highway 1 reopening. So I talked with Chuck Davidson, also from SoCal, and he agreed that we probably really need to look at a 4-year review to understand really what the number should look like, because you had a year where Highway 1 closed in May, and then it was closed until July 20th, so it opened literally 10 days before August started. So we had this, I'm sure you guys remember, just this huge push of people just eagerly wanting to get back down here, and our hotels were really full, which is fantastic, but it gave a false, you know, false account of what really is happening in our market. So if you see the bar graph, it shows the four different years and how it changes, and we still are showing a growth, but it's more of a manageable growth compared to last year where we went up and then back down. So this year for 2019, our occupancy was at 73% versus last year was 81%. And the RevPAR was 118 a night versus last year was 124. So a little bit of difference there. Can I, anybody have any thoughts or questions or anything else I'm missing on this?
I'm sorry. Hello? Yeah. So looking at the TOT report for starting this fiscal year in July and August, revenue is down both months. Are you saying, I guess I'm just hoping that we're not on a downward trend, obviously, for our community. We all hope that, right? But is there anything that we're going to do to try and adjust for... Because we don't see these numbers until they're weight, because it takes a month for the hotels have 30 days. I'm saying this for the public. The hotels have 30 days from the end of the month to report. The city gathers the numbers, and then they report outward information from the cumulative numbers. And so we're seeing these at least 30 days behind. There's no way we can adjust in the month without, you know, I know Jennifer and the staff connect with all of you all, but I don't know if through your communications, Jennifer, if you're hearing how September was or how October is, if it's flat or if it's up, and if it's up, that's great, but if it's not, are we making any kind of adjustments? Or I'm just curious what the trend is, I guess, from the hotel people on how that's looking so we can prepare ourselves for the quarter. I don't know.
One thing I noticed on the report, it's pretty obvious, is that we all felt really good about 2018, and I know personally that we forecast, you know, based on historical, and we felt great, and so we were really driving rate. If you look at the county, and if you look at Morro Bay, we all tried to drive rate. And, you know, part of the you know, it's rate or occupancy, and we want both. And when you push rate really hard, your occupancy suffers. So it was kind of a double whammy for us. We didn't have that, you know, that big push from Highway 1 being reopened because it was reopened. But we all thought, wow, we're going to really do great. So let's keep our rates up high. The entire county did. And the entire county, you can see what happened to them, too. We were all in the same boat. We all thought, wow, we're really going to kill it in August because we did last year. And what happened was we pushed our rates, kept pushing. The entire county did, and we all suffered a bit. So, you know, it's a pretty, you know, when you go $11, you push rate $11, you can slow down your pace, and they're going to go other places because they're shopping. Anyway, that's just my observation. And it is really tough in the month to figure out what the pulse is. You know, we're looking at it, you know, 30, 60, 90 once a week, you know, at my operation, really trying to figure out and drill down where are they coming from, what's happening. But it's always a challenge. So.
And, you know, I just want to remind you, I mean, I know you guys have heard Chuck from SoCal speak several times, and he has continually been saying we are going to have a downturn and we need to be prepared for it. This is not news that we were not aware of. I think that we're still trending fairly well. We're trending right with how everybody else in the county is doing, as Charlie mentioned. Some of the things that we're going to go through today after this is reviewing how we're reaching out to the Central Valley, which is a hot topic, and also moving possibly some money into a different aspect going into the shoulder season. So that will address some of it. But I mean, it is. I think we just need to prepare that we're going to be fairly flat, if anything.
Can you remind me the total number of new units coming into the market in the county in 2020?
I think it's over 2,000. Yeah, so there's a lot of new rooms. Most of them are not coastal except for Pismo Beach. What we've seen with the Pismo hotel rooms is they're priced pretty high. Well over 200 a night, all of them, and so that's actually given us more opportunities for rooms, because like when I've gone to the travel trade shows, a lot of these travel agents can't afford to go to Pismo Beach, and so they're looking at Morro Bay, which is a really nice thing, and I don't think we'll see influence from that probably until this next season. It's been just about 8 months now. It's a challenge. A lot of rooms.
Are the Morro Bay hotels that are in the planning process, they're included in those numbers, right? Because they're nowhere near being opened.
I don't think they are, Joan.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
Chuck, well, I don't know.
I haven't heard
I don't
that.
Know
I'll
are.
Ask him, though.
Yeah, I think
but
I think the Morro
Bay. That's a small amount of numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not
a couple
that
hundred
much.
Rooms here, 300 yeah. rooms, so, yeah.
I had heard that we were looking at about 2,200 room nights.
Yes.
New rooms. New rooms coming into the inventory.
Uh-huh.
And those were based on permits.
Those were based on permits. Okay. So people.
Yeah, I don't think ours are included.
I think they're
included.
All. I don't think that ours have quite
they're
yet gotten that far.
They're not coming online. Okay.
No.
Got you.
I'm pretty sure they were not included.
Because I'd be surprised if there were 2,000 rooms opening in the next 12 months. I mean,
It's mainly Paso Robles and SLO and Pismo are the three
they
big.
Yeah, they have bigger, yes. They have bigger spaces, bigger
and,
hotels.
And they've actually already opened over 800 rooms, so they're almost halfway through that. It's a lot of rooms, and that's why they're pushing so hard.
Chuck
on the
had
drive
said about 1,100 new rooms by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Coming online. So
yeah.
That's substantial. Yeah. That's our competition and our and complementary to what we do. You know, the price points and the different things. What we have to offer is unique. So.
Yeah, and just to add to that, a lot of those are luxury properties that, you know, is filling a niche within the county that has been lagging, especially we have a lot of luxury boutiques, but these are bigger properties, luxury properties that are kind of filling that.
Even file. Any other questions, comments, public comment?
You actually need to accept it with
accept
the changes.
It.
So the,
with the
we
change.
Had a typo on it that we've redone, and it's been filed online. So the new report is online. I just need you to accept and
can I hear a
approve
motion?
It.
Accept as corrected.
I move that we approve the TOT report for August of 2019 as submitted online.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passing on. Moving on. Mary Ann, good morning.
Hey.
Megan, good morning.
Hello, how are you? I just wanted to go over some of the September results and a couple of things that we're changing on the website for you quickly. So first off, as you saw in the packet, social media referrals are down 57.6% year over year, but that was largely due to the fact that there was $3,000 that we spent on promotions last year with the Harbor Festival grant. And so because social media is our top referral to the website, that means that explains why the page views are also down year over year. However, good news, organic search referrals are up 16.7% year over year on the website, and blog views are up 648%. And then as far as SEO goes, specifically for the lodging page views are up 13.46%, and overall search traffic is up 2,000 sessions per month. And then lodging, specifically in the search result, is now ranked number 2. So it continues to climb, which is pretty great, letting people see more the lodging properties. And then a couple things about the website changes so that we can increase the referrals once they get to the website. We've moved the booking widget to above the fold, and it's been added to additional auxiliary pages that it wasn't on before. And then the next step, working with SimpleView to redesign the booking widget to simplify it a little bit and then make it pop out more. So we're going to go with a solid orange background that is pulled from the homepage of our website. And it's going to be similar to the one listed there, but it's obviously going to have our style and text and things like that. So hopefully that draws the attention, gets people to see where they can book right away. additional website changes. On the tile listing view of all the hotels, the Book Now button, the color has been changed to yellow so that it's the first thing that people see when they get on that page. And then we're also in the process of adding a specials button to each specific hotel, and that'll take people directly to specials, deals, or packages pages that you have on your website. So it's an additional trackable way to see referrals. And then just a couple things about the wine promotion. Campaign page views were up 57% year over year for September, which is great, especially considering last September we were also doing the wine promotion. And then as far as paid advertising goes, for the wine promotion, there's been 4.4 million impressions, and it's generated $129,000 in hotel revenue. And then for PR and media relations, earned impressions for September were 991 million. The press release was about the grand opening of Porthouse, which allowed us to talk about food, which is an important thing, obviously, for tourists, and then also everything else that's new in Morro Bay, where there's a lot of things that are new. And then for visiting journalists, Georgie Ann Brennan came in July and wrote this article for the Mercury News. And it actually got picked up by quite a few other publications. And it has nearly 27,000 coverage views. And then recently, Visit California had a travel tour fam that came to town. We took them to the Harbor Festival. They were pretty excited about the oyster eating contest, which was fun to see. They're from Europe. I don't know if I mentioned that. And then we also have quite a few more visiting journalists on the horizon. So exciting things. Thanks.
Thank you. Public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to ask Mental Marketing to come. Oh, motion to approve.
Can I just say, I just want to say the button changes are great. The button changes are really, really good. It's really proactive. It's another way of trying to help these guys and their colleagues get bookings and drive those TOT numbers that we were just talking about. I think it's fantastic. It's a good way to brighten it up. You know, change is good. Change is good.
And that website is not finished. It is not complete in any shape. So, I mean, it's just going to be constant.
Yeah.
We just need to keep working on it. So Megan's keeping it top priority, which is great with so many new projects coming online.
Yeah, good job.
On your microphone.
Entertain a motion to receive and file.
I will make a motion to receive and file.
I second.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. I know last month, numbers from Fresno and some of our data that is supplied in our reports, there were some questions about it, so I'm here today to talk about the Inland Valley Fresno specifically and how we market to that audience. Want to start with where we have Fresno in our marketing plan. We identified four top-tier or key markets based on our Adara tracking results from last year. And as you can see, we based it on hotels booked in these regions. So Los Angeles, San Jose, San Francisco, Sacramento, and Fresno in that order was our where we had our most response and bookings. So that was our focus on where we were going to go after this year with our marketing dollars. So our media budget approach, starting with TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor is 35% of our media budget. And what we do with that, we didn't want to just go after where people book, but we also want to go after our comp set, right? We also learned last year from our Adara tracking, not only where who's booking here, but also if they don't book here, where are they booking? And so we can target our comp set through TripAdvisor. And TripAdvisor is really results-oriented. It's probably our highest booking ratio that we get from our ad dollars is from TripAdvisor. So 35% of our media budget is targeting our comm set. And who's our comm set? I would say, you know, San Jose, Sacramento, all the coastal up and down, Monterey, Santa Barbara, you know, and then within the county as well, Pismo, Paso Robles, and SLO. So those ads rotate out on those pages on TripAdvisor. So we're targeting them that way, targeting new bookings that way. And then the next three, Adara, social media, and Google ads, add up to about 20, 35, 42% of the media budget. And those target the four top areas that we identified as our key markets. So to that end, social media, oh, that's all right. Oh, did I? Okay, gotcha. There's one below it. I have big thumbs. So I think I want to go, yeah, this is good. Okay, yeah, this is where we are. So also kind of wanted to show you a little bit more when we look at our Facebook fan base. We can see that San Joaquin Valley is really evident. This is, I'm sorry, it's hard to read. That was just the color that I, it's in the packet. Okay, great. That gray, I couldn't darken it. I pulled that from Facebook. So you might want to look in your packet to see the numbers. So on our Facebook, we're really, San Joaquin Valley is pretty dominant. So Fresno, about 10% of our fan base, the highest percentage is out of Fresno, about 6,000. Overall, we have about 63,000 followers on Facebook. So 6,500 are from Fresno, 57, almost 6,000 are from Bakersfield. Then it goes Los Angeles, Visalia, and then kind of as the numbers decrease. And you can see San Jose there at the bottom. So we have really high saturation on the Valley, a lot of engagement from them as well. You know, Morro Bay has been a vacation spot for that region for, you know, over 50 years since Morro Bay started to become a vacation region. And so we're looking to grow other key markets as well through our social media and through that advertising, those advertising dollars. see if I can get this right. There we go. So those were the numbers on our fan base. So these are some results from our ads that we run. So basically, you know, we set a target of the four regions I discussed, and the results are based on how people from certain areas respond. So on this chart, you can see LA, we have a big reach. You know, the algorithms kind of target people that are responding more. We have great impressions, and then the frequency of people seeing our ads in the LA area is about 2.5 ads per person. Visalia, you can see that it's even less, smaller reach, smaller impressions, but higher delivering to that target audience, Fresno. And I think my takeaway from this is that there's a higher awareness, I think, of Morro Bay in the Valley. And so they're responding at a higher rate. Sacramento, Modesto is third, and then San Francisco, San Jose is fourth on the response level. Does anybody have questions? I have a Q&A at the end as well if something comes up. Sure. It happens. No. Oh, it's not in their packet? This? Okay. This, what didn't get into the packet. Okay. I'm happy to send this to you guys, and you can, you know, email. So basically, I'll just tell you the frequency of ad delivery and who's seeing it. So in LA, about 2.5 people are seeing 2.5 ads per reach. Fresno are seeing 3.5 ads per reach. Sacramento is about 2.7 per number of ads per reach. And then San Francisco is about 2.5 ads per reach. So, you know, we're getting some saturation with our ads, which is good. We want people to see it, see our ads frequently. And that's all this is talking about, is how those ad dollars are kind of divided up, and it's all based on Facebook's algorithms. Okay. So we choose the four top markets. We say we're going to spend this much, and then they send reaches and they send the impressions to people who are responding. Okay. All right. just wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit, trying not to confuse people. But anyway, so this goes back to, I just want to talk about some reporting data to clarify something. So when you get the marketing report, on page one of the marketing report, I believe, page one of the marketing report, starts with digital media. So that digital media section covers what media Morro Bay Tourism owns. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. So page 11 of your packet, at the top it says digital media. So you can see what this section reports out on is the digital media that Morro Bay Tourism owns. So that is morrobay.org, all the social media, et cetera. And then when you get to the section where we're talking about origin market, alternate DMAs search, and alternate DMAs booked, that is all results of from the Morro Bay website, okay, that is tracked through Adara. So I'm pointing this out because there's another section in the report on what page is that, Jen? So page 13 of the marketing report is titled Paid Advertising, okay? So this section covers, like, gives data on our promotion, the Sip and Savor promotion that's happening right now. So the data that's reported out from Adara tracking is based specifically on our ad tracking and how our ads are doing and the response to our advertising versus the website, okay? So what I'm going to do to make this more clear is I'm going to add another slide onto the monthly reports. And this is, I'm sorry, I thought this was in your packets, but this slide basically shows what our booking numbers are based on the ad dollar spent versus booking numbers from the website, okay? And so this slide says San Francisco Bay Area from July through September was 28% of our bookings as a response to our ads. Los Angeles was 16%. Fresno came in third at 13.8%. So I just wanted to kind of share with you that we are getting response from Fresno. We are paying attention to Fresno and marketing to them, and they are in our top four. And those top four seem to kind of move around a little bit, but then number four is Sacramento. So, but just so you have more data on our ads, I'm going to start adding this chart so you can see where our bookings are coming from. Pardon me?
Is that Fresno Bakersfield or is it just straight?
No, it's Fresno. It's Fresno Visalia.
Oh,
Bakersfield separate. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So. I know it's a lot of information, but I think it'll be clear in next month's report when that comes out. I'll have that chart in there, and I just wanted to help you guys clarify that the digital media is our owned media, and then the paid advertising is a result of the paid advertising. Okay, because I know it can be confusing at times. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have a request.
Of course.
Really hard to see on the screen because it's so teeny tiny, even on the paper. It's really, really minute. Is there a possibility of pumping it up so we can actually see it?
Well, I did my best. So there was, I'm basically taking screenshots, from the website, and if they have like a gray font, I can't, personally darken it. So I did my best. I'm happy to send this to you guys, email it to you. So
please do.
I will. Thank you. So you can see it. 12 inches from your face instead of this far. So, any questions about the numbers?
I think the focus, numbers? I understand, what you're bringing at us, but I understand the reason that you're kind of talking a lot about the Valley, about Fresno and Bakersfield is. I think that there was some confusion when Chuck spoke and at the last meeting, and so I know that this clarification is really good for us and good for everyone watching, too. Are there any questions? Comments?
Good. Okay.
Public comment? No? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Jennifer, you're up.
Okay. So, what I'm going to try to start tackling is just some different sections of the strategic plan because there's a lot to it, and I just want you to know that we are actively moving forward on it all the time, and I thought if we just every month start coming back and show you a little bit of kind of what's going on. You know, we've been showing you some parts of it, but I think putting it together as a group will really help you see what we're getting finished, which is exciting. So art and culture was one of the major sections in the strategic plan, and one of the things that was requested in the strategic plan was for Morro Bay Tourism and the City of Morro Bay to create some sort of a funding mechanism for art and culture to help grow that, and that has not been done, and I think that's a very long-term thing, so I don't see that happening today, but just so you know, it is top of mind, but you're not going to see it in today's presentation. We have a really good group of people that meet, and we're getting ready to do our second meeting, and there's a little over 9 people that come, and it just depends on who can come at that time, but it's 2 people from my staff, an art center representative, either 1 or 2 people, several local artists and makers that are independently running their own businesses here in Morro Bay, myself, Marianne from our agency, and then we've also invited some of our local lounge and nightlife people to come as well, and also Janice Peters as well. I'm sorry I didn't put her on here, but she also comes. So we have a really nice group of people that have been meeting and kind of talking through what is art and culture, and it's different in Morro Bay. You know, we're not the typical city, which is what we love, and so, you know, we've kind of been tackling how do we grow this and how do we show who we are. And as I mentioned, you know, they want us to, or it was a recommendation to create some sort of a sustainable funding source, and I'm open to ideas. If you have any, email them to me, and we'll start getting them into that group, and we'll start kind of running through that and how that'll be. It's a little difficult because we don't have a lot of volunteers here in town to take on an entirely new project, so that's top of mind when I'm looking at how do we do that as us being the catalyst to start it and not overwhelm my department as well, but it is top of mind. So I want to show you some of the stuff that we've started. We've actively been creating this hero library of different photos that Dana Joy has been shooting for us. So we have her on contract. She's going out shooting every month, and she has an overview idea of what we're looking for, but I'm not giving her specifics. This month I want you to shoot this or that, because she's very an organic shooter, and she shoots based on the weather and the conditions, and so I've given her the open ability to pick out of the topics that we want, you know, what is best to shoot based on what's going on in town, and she's doing a really fantastic job. I'm thrilled with what she's capturing. So we have some great new shots of Art in the Park, which show really well. I love it with the trolley and the rock is awesome. The nightlife downtown, I know you've seen these, so that's a really nice viewpoint of, again, culture. Makes our downtown look pretty hip and happening, doesn't it? So we have 4 shots of downtown. The Natural History Museum, she actually has 4 hero shots of the museum that look really nice. Get ready, Charlie. Maritime Museum, she shot these during Harbor Festival last week. They look really great. So now we have 3 hero shots of that. She hasn't got into the Skateboard Museum yet, but I need her to do that next. Witches, she shot the witches last year, as well as some, I don't know, the lady. I love her. I mean, she's not here. That was specifically event for the Old Farmers Market, but it's pretty cool looking. And then some of the nightlife, she shot Siren and private event that happened at Tylands Park that 805 Firestone Brewery had. So I love that. I think she's doing a really nice job. I'm really happy with what she's doing. She's got some of the downtown and some of the Embarcadero nightlife, walking and shopping type of ideas. Some of the things that we've set up on the website to help emphasize art and culture is they're on our pull-down menu. We've got 2 sections, museum and art, and then also entertainment. So they are clearly defined in there, and then they have their own pages as you go to them. You'll see there's the lady doing her plein air out on the T-Pier, which is nice. We're doing a lot of social media posts with the different entertainment, and I'm sorry Janice already left, but she is aware of this. You know, she has applied for a grant, which she does. It doesn't really fit into a normal grant because she has a lot of shows throughout the year, but Mental Marketing and I have made a commitment that we're pushing mainly out to the Valley, you know, her events that are running on shoulder season. So we didn't do this during summer, but we are now getting ready to do this during shoulder as she's having different shows come on board. So I think she'll see some good addition for that. On our visitor guide, I left you the new visitor guides that just came out, but they are listed and they have a complete independent page on art and culture, which I think turned out really well. I'm very happy with it. And then the mural mile map just was redone, and this was a project the Art Center did for us at no cost, and I'm thrilled with it. It needed to be updated very badly. So that is available at the Visitor Center, and it's also available for download on morrobay.org. Yeah, so we have copies in our – I haven't made a lot of copies because it was not something I planned for in my budget, but we do have it at the Visitor Center and download, so it is available through that route. I'm sorry, want to turn your yes. Yes, we just did them ASAP. So that's kind of it for art and culture. Like I said, we have several more things that we'll just keep adding to it. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the website stuff, it's just, you know, it's just going to be constant. It's not going to finish anytime soon, especially with our limited budget. But anything on art and culture that – thoughts?
Love seeing it on the cover, the alternate cover. It really is great.
Yeah. Dana, she lives in Cayucas. Dana Joy is what she goes by, and she's fantastic. Yep. We use them for social media quite a bit. We have a license agreement that we can use them for travel trade as well. So if travel agents need them, they're allowed to use them to promote Morro Bay. So we have a really high caliber quality photo that shows us, which I love. Yeah. Yeah, and PR.
And building the library of those images is really important to maintain, you know, maintain fresh images is really, really smart.
For sure.
And she does great work.
The Historical Society was doing some research the other day and had a bunch of newspapers out, and one of the newspapers from, like, 1949 had a picture from exactly this area of Morro Bay, and it had about 60 plein air painters out there doing a class. It was a fabulous photo with all of them painting the rock. It was a photo of the rock of 60 people painting the rock. It was fantastic. So this is so on spot for Morro Bay and who it's always been. I love this one.
So on that same topic, Joan, I have a meeting at 2:00 today with the California Society of Oil Painters to talk about doing some plein air workshops here in Morro Bay. So that's something to me that might be the, you know, large kind of outreach that we do. I don't know how it's going to be a funding source, but, you know, I would love to get painters here again. It just seems like it's kind of lagging that we need to bring it back up. So,
well, I'll see if I can get you a picture of the picture so you can show them that this is what they could look like. Not much of a time warp there.
Okay.
I love the murals. I had no idea there was that many in this area.
Awesome.
You know, they beautify the area. They help prevent graffiti. Does the city have some type of approval process if somebody's looking to commission a mural on a public bridge?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, that works.
I have no idea. So there was a group that was kind of managing those, and all but Neil Farrell has left Morro Bay, that group. So he's still kind of facilitating that. They've moved. Yeah, they're no longer in Morro Bay. It was, I think, a group of four. So, but Neil's still here, so he can help with that. You're going to put one on the hotel? Yeah, there's a lot of places.
There
to
put definitely are places around town.
And there's some that need to be redone.
Mural. Yeah.
So that need to be updated. So.
Jennifer, thank you.
Yeah.
Public comment. Okay. Receive and file.
So I'm going to keep going on that. So
please.
The next section that I'm going to talk about briefly is on the strategic plan is environment and the National Estuary. So. This is obviously top priority for us to make sure that Morro Bay is highly connected with our national estuary and that we show it positively in everything we do, that we show sustainability and not just bring people here but show them how to take care of our national estuary when they're here. So we're doing this through a lot of different aspects. We've got the social media posts, which I'm sure you've all seen, and a lot of those, again, are Dana Joy's photos. We've got new banners that I believe I sent out to you that'll they will go up in the city park based on when there's open space available. And those just remind people that, you know, to clean up their trash, that this national estuary, and just different positive messages to just to help support that. We have a new interpretive sign at Coleman Beach and Target Rock that Sea Otter Savvy has put in. I don't know if you've seen those, but they are awesome. It talks about diving in Morro Bay and what you'll see and how to take care of, you know, spacing with the otters. And they also have a waterproof map. So when you're scuba diving, you've got this really cool map, which is really a nice addition that we've never had before. So I was really excited to see that. Megan's doing a lot of blogging on the National Estuary or different topics in it, whether it's wildlife. And I know that Marianne is doing a real active push on stewardship in Morro Bay as well on pretty much everything we do. Okay? That group that meets, it is the two staff from my office, myself and Megan usually are in that, a Harbor Department staff member, which is Becca Kelly. She's very involved as well. And then the director and a staff member from the National Estuary. And also Marianne from Mental Marketing is in that group. So we meet fairly actively, usually three or four times a year. And in between that, we send a lot of emails. So probably every week we're sending emails between all of us of things we, you know. Mm-hmm. Megan and I really use them as resources to make sure we're saying the right thing and using the right terminology when we're pushing out. And then we work with Mental Marketing as well as the people that do our social media, make sure they're saying the right words as well. Good. So some other things on the environment and the National Estuary. Again, we've been asked to be the nexus point between us and the National Estuary, so I think we're working on that very well, and it'll be an ever-growing relationship, providing space on the website. So we've done that. Honestly, I think we need to do a better job at that, and Megan and I talked about that, and we're going to actually put a tab in there. We have a tab for birding and one for fishing, but we need specifically probably a tab that says either wildlife or something related to the National Estuary very clearly. You can find it all over our website, but actually to get into the details of it, I think we need something. And so we started talking about that last week and how we can do that. So that's going to be our next thing that we work on our website. And then, as you see, the visitor guide, it talks about, you know, protecting and enjoying the environment while you're here as well. Good? Some things I want to show you. Oh, can you fix that for me? Sorry. I don't know if you've been on the website and seen the National Estuary page, but it's got really nice photo of the Back Bay, and then it's also got the birding. That was it. Yeah, right there. So those are Dana Joy's photos as well, and it's got a map, but I would like to get into more detail in this section. That's what Megan and I started talking about, is what do we do on that next. And one of the ways that she's been really actively talking about the environment is through the blog, and it's very popular. As you saw, her blog is really high in viewership. And I think it's a lot of that discussion, talking about the wildlife in the National Estuary. I mean, people are really eating it up. So we will keep doing that. One more thing, just to talk a little more about the weekly blog. So the blog is the one place that we can attack the strategic plan and all the different aspects, even though we can't get into doing the nitty-gritty stuff. So we blog about everything. And if there's something you think of, send us an idea, because it's constantly, what do we blog about this week? I mean, it's every single week. So anything you can think of, please send it over, and we'll see what we can do to add it into our blogs. That's all I have on the strategic plan update. If I can answer any questions or thoughts.
I love the partnership with the National Estuary Program. I think it's really critical to our mission, you know, and I know that there's a lot that they can do in the future. Working with them, we may do some stewardship programs as well. One is eelgrass replenishment, and I know that they've done that in other areas and other estuaries successfully, so that's something to look into with that program. So really great. Thank you.
Good.
Questions? Public comment?
I think this is really important and really great work. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Way it's to go really on the fun blog over there.
Yeah.
Give her a high five.
Yeah, for sure. She's doing a great job on the blog. I love the Sea Liberties calling our otters the Morro Bay Sea Liberties.
I think it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing the new signage, too, because I have not seen it yet, and that's something important to show our guests as well. Avila Beach is doing at the aquarium, the Central Coast Aquarium, they're doing stewardship programs where they give out buckets, gloves, people walk the beach, they clean the beach, they bring it back, and they get a little sticker or something that says, wow, I helped do my part for the environment. Programs like that really can help drive heads and beds and also make people feel good about coming to an area. Not sure if that's what we're looking for, but things like that. So I'd like to ask, are there any declaration of any future agenda items? One more thing. What's up? Talk to us.
Don't rush me, Charlie. Come on now. What are you doing? Okay.
One more thing. Thank you.
My one staff report. So I saved it for last. So we have, as you know, we're in the middle of our wine promotion. It's doing really well, as you saw by the numbers. But we do have some extra funds, which is great. So far we've had, this was as of a week ago Friday, we had 300 bottles redeemed. And so I'm estimating out a little over $5,000 will be left in this budget. It's not a huge amount of money, but I would like to move the money. And so I've given you three options to look at, and we can talk about that. And I'll have Marianne also, she can answer questions for you as well on thoughts for this. So the first option is the Outdoor Goals videos. So as you know, we have these 15-second videos. They're doing really well. So the only time we spent money against these was during Amgen. This was part of our Amgen push. It was a small amount of money. It was only $2,000, but they did really well. And so I think we've got like 14 of them. So we can run those. We can use that as part of that $5,000, and we can run those out in the valley if we want to do that. The second thing would be to spend the money towards event support. So as Megan mentioned earlier, last year we had funds specified for Harbor Festival, which we did not do this year because our grant funds were lower. And so we definitely saw a decrease on viewership during that time. And so Marianne and I started talking about, well, you know, we're getting ready to come into the wintertime, and we have a lot of shoulder events that we need support, so do we spend the money on that? Again, $5,000 is it's not a lot of money, but we could put it towards Facebook and Instagram and spend it in there. So I've given you some statistics on that. If you look at these little statistics that are in your report, this is part of what Marianne showed you earlier, so you'll see the first graph shows you, let's see if I have it in here. Well, I have one of them. So the top graph in your staff report shows you the dark blue is ads that ran and the influence on people through Facebook. And below that, Marianne talked about our total fans on the page. And this report was pulled last Friday, so there were 63,371 fans. As of this morning, we hit a milestone. We're at 65,000 fans. So that's kind of exciting that we've grown. So that's kind of a big deal for us. And if you look at the breakdown, it is interesting because in the valley you have Fresno, Bakersfield, Visalia, Hanford, Clovis. Those four areas make up a substantial amount of fans. But we are already pushing to them, as she mentioned, through other sources. So keep that in mind. So we've got this could push to the valley, but we already are pushing to the valley. So we could do that. We could spend the money going towards Santa Barbara or up north if we want to do that on social media. So we could put it towards social media specifically.
And then the third option that I have for you is Birdwatching Digest. And I'm bringing this up because this is a really good viewership. This is through Cornell University. They've got an online digest, and they're getting ready to do their Guide of Northern California Birding. As we know, birding is huge for us, and it's January, February. So to me, that's like a really critical time for us. It gives us an opportunity to reach people that come here for multiple days. They're mainly retired, and you know, they're going to come in for, you know, three or more days, which is huge to me. So it's not as high of a number of people you're hitting versus going to the valley, but it's people that are going to come for a longer amount of time, mainly midweek shoulder season, specifically for birding. So three very different options. Sorry, I didn't turn my
The Cornell publication can also link with their eBird,
yes,
which is very local. It gets down even to the level of Del Mar Park or the Tidelands. Yeah. You know, it gets, and there are some, this is a big year. There's a lot of really unusual birds coming through already. So
that's really funny, big year.
Yeah, so I'm giving you three really different options. I'll let Marianne talk. My personal opinion would be the Bird Digest. It's not as strong as physical numbers, but it's stronger numbers to me as far as
it's also very the group is fairly tight-knit, and they're also affluent, and they mm-hmm. share a lot mm-hmm. together about things they see. And so for me, I like the bird.
Yeah, and the birding, so of the three options, the first one with the videos, that's kind of a branding, not really call to action. The second one with the events is where, you know, we'll be soliciting response, you know. And then this one is also branding, but it's specific to, you know, an industry, a target niche that is, like Charlie said, affluent and educate, you know, higher levels of education. But also it's an ebook, and the funds would allow us to get a two-page spread in both the Northern California publication and the Southern California publication. So we're actually listed in the Northern California publication. However, you know, as a spot, as a DMO. But in the Southern California publication, well, actually in both, they list all of the birding events, and the Morro Bay one is in January, so it's the top of the list on both publications, and we're identified as an important birding area and so forth. These publications they're evergreen. They have longevity. They have much more longevity than either the first or the second option. And so I think in that regard, it's really money well spent. So,
can we ask questions? Okay. So when you put together the program for I like the bird watching, so I'm only going to speak to the bird watching. When you put together a program if you were to put together a program for the bird watching one, would you be able to tie in the whole NEP segment of it? Because what I'm hearing from Jennifer is that's so strong on the blogging, all the animal.
Yes.
Or I guess wildlife, not animal. The wildlife blogging that's going on is so popular.
Right.
And the otters here, I think, are, besides the rock, are probably one of our most attractive attractions, most attracting attractions, whatever. And so I don't know. So yeah. Would that be?
Sure. So I can expand on. So it would be a two-page spread, and, you know, one page would be an advertisement, and then one page would be advertorial or native advertising. And so we can direct the content, and I imagine we would reach out to the Morro Bay Estuary Program. They're so fantastic, and, you know, maybe work with them to create, you know, the concepts for the editorial. They have been so great to work with. They've supplied us with videos and so much, you know, photos, content. They're really great. So we'd want to, and to your point, Nancy, too, since it is an ebook, we can have live links, and so we can connect them to that lower, you know, to specific places here within our town. So absolutely, Joan, I think that's, to your point, we can cover more than just the birds. We can mention, you know, otters and other things, you know.
You know, and to me, the challenge that I've always had with the Winter Bird Festival is it's a weekend, and it's the right. start of our birding season. So to me, I want to push, you know, this is the start of several months. You know, you can come yeah. January, February, March, have great birding
yeah.
season. And so that's, to me, is the push. is you can't make it for Winter Bird Festival, you're not missing it. Just come on out, and you'll have great birding and fantastic time, self-guided. And
yeah.
And maybe that's part of, you know, where we go with the advertorial is talk about that you can do self-guided tour anytime,
yeah,
you know, by yourself. And I'm sure Rachel, and I'm sure they've given us some great content on that.
It's not like the bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's our, you know. And yeah, it starts now. And you know Chris Cameron, right? He's yeah. I mean, I don't know how affiliated Chris is with the estuary program, but he's, you know, so he's the founder of the Bird Festival, and
okay,
he and Michelle, who's now the executive director.
Yeah, Michelle Rose, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not misspeaking, but I thought I caught wind that they're trying to expand it more than just the 3 days, which is brilliant. If we can make it a week-long thing, how amazing, yeah, would that be, you know? And so, yeah, Michelle was great. We just recently had a wildlife journalist, or a journalist from the San Francisco Chronicle come down who wanted to write about wildlife. And Michelle met with him, and the gentleman, his name escapes me right now, who wrote the book about the falcon, or, the peregrine falcons, you know, and how, pardon me? Yes. Dave Laws was the journalist. But anyway, so, I mean, the leadership of that event is just incredible and talented and super smart. And so, yeah, we want to work with all those guys on this. So if this is the direction you guys go.
There's an osprey visiting town that keeps collecting a lot of attention. Yes. He's all over social media right now. Everybody thinks it is. They keep posting him as a bald eagle. Even my son took a picture of him. He was on. They were. He was punting, and he was. The bird was watching them punt on top of the goalpost. Yeah,
that's
he was
so
sitting
funny
on top of the goalpost.
We saw one out at the oyster farm not long ago, just sitting
yeah,
there, like staring down at the oysters, like.
I can't get in those bags.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great. So I don't know what they're going to think, but
okay.
Public comment. I'd like to possibly entertain a motion.
Is that?
There are three of us up here that have all said bird, but I think they're all great options. But with a limited amount of funds, I think we could get more bang out of our buck going with the two-page spread. My opinion.
I move that we go with the birds, that we fly with the birds, number three.
A second.
Yay.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Yay, birds.
Fly with the birds.
All right. Now I am at the point of C, declaration of any future agenda items.
I'd like to make a request to staff. Can we just get an update on the water situation here in Morro Bay and what to expect in terms of budgeting and just
water prices?
The cost of water. I mean, we got our water bill for the hotels, and I was just floored. I mean, it's literally surpassed the cost of our mortgage.
Are you looking to, just so I can understand, are you looking to get a schedule of the next steps of increases? Is that what you're looking for? Yeah, so you're looking for a schedule and how to calculate it. You're looking for a budget calculator. Okay.
Water are very precious resources. Now, turning to gold, I got my bill too, and it's shocking. So it can very much hurt us. It's like we need to conserve water everywhere. And more now. Any other future agenda items? Seeing none, I'm going to call for adjournment at 10:21. Thank you all. Have a great week.